Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Kennedy told me that some of her drag friends were standing next to her and just watching us going, "Honey, I don't get it." And Kennedy looks over at him and goes, "Honey, you're not supposed to get it," and walks off. Like, dude, that says it all right there. That's so fucking rad.
Welcome to Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm JP, I'll be your host today. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action sports, and subculture. On today's show, we'll be talking with local artist Kat Martin, hearing some tunes from the Ugly Valley Boys, listening to the fucktards wax philosophical about the depth of their art, doing the Daily Calendar weekly rundown with Bethany Fisher, checking in with the Black Sheep Gallery stroll, and listening to a track from Reviver. I've been the clown guy. Kat Martin has been an artist most of her life, starting out painting murals and portraits of children with oil and acrylic paints. She's been a Craft Lake City artist and has a booth at Craft Sabbath. Her company is called Cat's Creepy Art. She paints zombies, monsters, robots, and other characters over landscapes, Americana art, and figurines. She started doing this for last year's Craft Lake City and continued because it was so successful and there was such a great response from the community. Let's listen in now as Megan Kennedy gets some more information about Kat Martin's art and her life.
First, a little bit about how you got started, because the way you do your art is so unique. Like, your setup, your inspiration. Like, how did you get started doing the stuff you're doing?
My husband, he saw something similar to it, and he's like, "Yeah, you could do that for me, couldn't you?" And I was like, "Okay, I guess." So he actually went out and found a painting and had me do some zombies on it for his man cave. And then I was going to a Slug Magazine Christmas party, and I was like, "Oh, just do a little bombshell snowman," and it was the kind of thing for the white elephant gift, and it was the kind of thing you could trade it, and it got traded so many times that they had to, like, kill it.
Oh.
And he was like, "God, people love it. Oh my gosh." And so he went out for Christmas that year and bought me, like, 20 canvases and was like, "Entering Craft Lake City, you need to. Basically, like, did everything short of the gun in my head.
That's awesome.
So I actually have to hold the paintings up to him and he tells me what to put in them.
That's awesome. So did you start on, because I know now that you find, like, found paintings where you go to the eye and find ones that have already been painted and you need to add to them. Did you start, did you ever do one that was just your own?
I've done several of my own. I mean, there's so many.
Yeah.
Abandoned ones that need a new life.
And it's such a cool thing, because it's like you do give it a new life. Like, you give it your own little voicing.
I know, and I've had people who, like, I've inherited paintings from their grandparents, and they're like, "Can you paint something in this?" And then, like, there's been times where, like, there's, like, some handwritten note from their granny, and it's like, "I thought of you when I saw this winter scene," and then I paint some bloody wampa into it. I killed that. But they're like, "We wouldn't have hung it up otherwise. We would have just given it to DI." I'm like, "Oh, that's good then."
So what's your training in art, and, like, did you go to school for any of this? What kind of paintings did you do before this really happened?
I still do other kind of paintings. I do murals for children, realism, like, portrait. So it's very, very different. So that's why I'm honestly not even my biggest fan. My heart's in, like, children and doing art for them. And I think about little kids and how much they love, like, the beautiful murals. And then my sister's like, "Well, you have to think about, kids don't choose that. Like, people love your art and they choose to buy it with their hard-earned money." And I was like, I still have to convince myself that it's so cool, people like it.
What kind of, so you're inspired, you do a lot of, with the children's stuff, like, what's caused your inspiration for the creepy art, though? Is it just horror movies in general? I know you do a lot of geek stuff, like
Star
Wars.
I do geek stuff. My husband is on Geek Show podcast.
Nice.
And so I got grandfathered in a lot of fans that way. And then people are like, "Well, you should do this." Like, the Wampa actually is, I picked him out, and he's like, "Oh, that's from Star Wars." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, I just wanted an abominable snowman." And then the Star Wars freaks went crazy. And it's funny because when I first started doing it, my website was Cat's Creepy Art, and then I, like, did the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and, like, I'm doing an Avengers one right now. And, like, it's not creepy anymore, so I have to. About another website. I have two sites for my art, and I'm just gonna be like, Artist Kat, And then it's gonna be like, here's everything I do, instead of being like, here's all the different things I do in the different genres and the different things.
Just kind of generalize it into one section. Yeah, because you kind of are, you've got a couple of different sides I noticed on there.
Yeah, I have like a double-sided card and everything. Like, if you like this, if you like that. Tiny.
So what would you say that you haven't touched on and you're like, would you want to paint that you haven't been able to do yet?
Labyrinth.
Nice.
I'm definitely gonna do a Labyrinth one for complexity. Like a lot of the Star Wars stuff, like I only saw Star Wars once. I'm not like a huge geek. Mm-hmm. The geeks don't like me saying that. I tell them I'm a geek in training, but I'm not a geek at all. And I don't get it at all. And they're like, I never knew that was the Hoth. I'm like, what's the Hoth? I like that they like the art I do, but it's like I did Mario and I loved it because I actually played Mario. So that's exciting. Sharktopus is a hilarious movie, so
that's awesome.
And it's hard when people are like, what's your favorite? Because I'm like, that portrait I did of that little boy, like, you know what I'm saying? I can't say that. So I usually say Sharktopus, and I'm definitely excited to do Labyrinth and like stuff that actually is from my childhood.
Start the painting the sculptures like the little the zombie unicorn.
I actually did that at first at Craft Lake City last year, and I did have like a bear and had like something else dorky, and I never was able to sell that bear. I found that
really?
It was like $3, and I finally just gave it to my friend's kid. But then I was like, screw that, I'm not doing figurines anymore. And then I found a unicorn. I'm like, I have to do this. And then a carousel horse, and they
the
go like that.
Awesome.
I find out
that away for your
yeah. I actually just barely shipped it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I realized it's specific kind of things, like bears and like cutesy dorky things that looks like they were from the Quilted Bear. But everyone likes carousel horses anyway, so of course zombified ones are awesome.
So you're finding your kind of finding your comfort zone for that stuff.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. I love the way you do that stuff. Is it harder to paint the sculptures than it is the paintings? Like, what would you say is most challenging for you?
Sculptures are very easy.
Is it?
Well, because it's all laid out for you. You just have to fill it. It's like paint by number.
Yeah.
I mean, and zombifying something's just, you know, blood.
Yeah.
So it's just extra paint on that. But no, paintings just, I mean, some things are easy. That's why I like doing monsters more.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard when people want, like right now I'm struggling with this one I'm doing. She wants the Alice in Wonderland one again. Mm-hmm. And I'm comparing it to the other painting.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to match that, but try to make it better. Because I'd like to progress as an artist. I kept looking at the transvestite. And I'm like, why am I comparing it to that? Just, I didn't, when I first did it, compare it to anything. So I should just do it for my brain. Sometimes it's frustrating.
So you're trying to, and this is the one you're trying to compare to your own work, like your past or be your own past.
I'm like, hold my print and paint it.
That seems like it would be difficult.
So I'm like, I'm just gonna go back to the original, what I was doing, and then just go for my own head, because that seems to, you try to mimic what you already did. Except for the zombies, because I painted those like 6 times.
Yeah. And you go from a source, don't you, when you do at least the zombies? Like you're looking at a source that you're painting.
Yeah, I just find images on the internet. But I recently did one where the swamp thing was holding a guy. It was a custom, and the guy last minute, he's like, oh, I wanted this, but I want it holding a guy. I'm like, okay. There's no images online at all.
So
like that. No date, no Duke in distress. So I actually found a guy. I like text, you know, Princess Kennedy.
Yeah.
I was like, do you know a guy who would fit the bill for this? He's like, yeah, this hot guy. And he totally came across that, stripped his shirt off, and my friend Lee Cade held him and posed for the picture for me.
That's great. So you got your source for that.
I know.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, I'm happy about this because there's like, it doesn't exist at all. No one has this. So maybe
how tragic. There should be more Dukes in distress.
Exactly.
We think.
There's a large gay community. I'm sure they'd appreciate it. And some women as well.
Exactly. How does the commission work for you? Like, do you find a lot of people ordering your stuff now?
Yeah.
Via that special work?
It's more and more because I charge the same as I would for a painting.
Nice.
And people are like, well, I wanted that, but I sold it. And I'm like, I have like 50 canvases sitting in my house. So I'll just email you pictures and then you can go from there.
Yeah. That's a more broad question. How is it being an artist, especially the creepy stuff that you do in Salt Lake? Like, a lot of people have talked about how kind of there isn't the creative community, like there is maybe bigger cities. And so do you find that to be true for you, or have you always found a place to go, kind of a refuge?
I don't think that's true at all. I think we have a huge art community. I mean, with all the festivals, and then like, I mean, of course I would like our art museum to be bigger. It'd be nice if there were more galleries, obviously. But I think
for all the people I know who are making money doing art, it seems like there's an easy way to find a niche. At least the people I know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not talking.
You just know that.
I just know
people.
Successful artists. Apparently, thank goodness.
That's good though.
I mean, showing me your friends, right?
Yeah. So you've always found that you found like a refuge, and then you found that you haven't struggled to find that kind of group in the city at all then.
No.
That's great.
Because I have actually different groups of artists, because I have the Crosstop group, and then I have like the people who show up Long Grizzly a lot, and they're a totally mm-hmm. different crowd. They're not even friends with each other, but yeah. I was like, wow, there's, ideally, you know, I would be writing children's books or painting murals all the time, but I love painting, so I'm happy that I could have some way to be a part of all these, this situation, because like it was just 2 years ago. It was like 6 months before the last Crafts Lake City. I went to Gallerstroll, and there's three people from my AP art high school class who were showing. And I was like, I'm not doing anything with myself. And I was really depressed, and I was like, what? All these people who I know are totally amazing, and they are at shows. And then like within like 6-8 months, all of a sudden, poof.
There you
like,
are.
Yay, my dream came true!
That's so awesome.
I know.
So it's persistence, it seems like. If you just keep going with your dream, or like, you know, finding your niche and kind of being... Mine was definitely finding my niche. If it wasn't for my husband, I would not at all.
That's awesome.
I mean, he literally did everything. Like, we got in fights about it, and I'm like, I don't even get this kind of art. So I had like, he like convinced me that it was cool. I do think it's cool, but I still am like, I'm still floored every time.
It's so cool.
I wouldn't have expected that. I would have expected you to be kind of all about it. Because it's just such an unique thing. Doesn't seem like anything you just fall into or somebody suggests, but that's way cool that your husband did that.
And my friend, I was like, I feel like kind of a sellout because I'm doing it for the money. And she's like, I don't know. If you are a sellout, you're a badass sellout. Because this is cool stuff.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Because everybody's seen those paintings. So like, everybody's grandma has one of those paintings. Everybody has been to a doctor's office with one.
I would have like, I've been places and I'm like, you really don't want that, do you? I'll pay you $20 for it.
Yeah.
Back.
You got your regular, we can see at Craft Sabbath every Sunday.
First Sunday of every month.
Yeah. You had Long Grizzly. Any other upcoming shows aside from Craft Lake City that we can see you at?
I haven't applied yet, but I'm pretty much planning on being in the 9th and 9th Street Fair, and also the Avenue Street Fair.
Yeah. Nice.
And I don't know if I'm not going to be like, oh yeah, I'll be accepted, but based on who was like pushing me to do that, and they're like the same crowd that I've done festivals with, I'm like, they'll probably like me as well.
Hopefully. And if anybody wants to buy your, we got your Etsy, you got your Facebook, anywhere else they need to look for, to get, look at your stuff.
Salt Lake Citizen.
Okay.
There's only tiny little prints there, but I mean, it's nice. $10 frame print.
Oh, nice. It's even framed. That's beautiful.
For more information about Kat and custom artwork, check out her stuff on katscreepyart.com and read her Craft Lake City artist profile in our August 2010 issue. The Ugly Valley Boys are a local group specializing in American roots music, which is a mixture of rockabilly, hillbilly blues, punk rock, and Americana. It features Ryan Eastland on guitar, kick drum, and vocals, with Braxton Brandenburg on upright bass. They've shared the stage with such artists as Wayne the Train Hancock and Joe Buck. Let's hear their song Shadows Fire from the album Double Down.
Out my head. Sunrise number two, you know there's something wrong. Come and burn this devil from my bed. Now I'm somewhere between in and out, lost and found, yeah. Couldn't tell you if I'm moving up or going down, yeah. Oh, yeah. My shadow's fire and the full moon's rising. I don't feel all right now, but maybe someday. Yeah, my shadow's fire, the full moon's rising. I don't feel all right now, but maybe someday. Whoa, 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 whoa. standing at the crossroads of red bloodshot lights. Feel low down, don't you know? Coffee shop slot machines rattle round and round. This midnight oil's gotta go. Now I'm somewhere between in and out, lost and found, yeah. Couldn't tell you if I'm moving up or going down, yeah. Ooh, yeah. My shadow's fire and this full moon's rising. I don't feel all right now, but maybe someday. When my shadow's fire and a full moon's rising, I don't feel all right now. Maybe someday.
The Ugly Valley Boys have another show coming up on August 25th at the Garage with the Utah County Swillers. Check out their music and more at uglyvalleyboys.com. The Fucktards have been around for over 10 years with members Mike Brown on Words and Stuff, Dan Rose on guitar, Lance Saunders on bass, and Dave McCall on drums. I remember seeing the original lineup back at Kilby Court in the early 2000s before they were banned from playing that venue. They've played Slug Localized before and are main features of the Mike Brown Fest at Urban Lounge. They broke up in 2003 but reformed to play Slug's 20th anniversary party in 2009 and have been punk rockin' the valley ever since. It's time to listen to Ricky Vigil interview Mike Brown on the band's deep philosophical underpinnings.
Do you?
No, but I don't think people go on MySpace anymore.
Not even like for music?
Well, I think other musicians do.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know, here's kind of how I think about the Fucktards. Like, we recorded a CD a while ago, and it was so bullshit, like such a pain in the ass. And we kind of, the band kind of started fighting, and it was, which is like, you know, pretty normal, but it just seemed like such a fucking frustrating process, like it wasn't fun. And that was like the only reason I wanted to be in a band, was to have fun. And the songs are so sloppy and like just, you know, like it's just really basic punk rock metal that you can't, when you record it, I don't know how many people would actually like want to listen to it. You know how you have like your CDs that you're like, oh, I gotta listen to that today, or like I really want to listen to that. I don't necessarily see that. I see Fucktards more being like dudes sitting around going like, you gotta hear this just cause you gotta hear it.
Yeah.
You know, like not, and so it doesn't seem, it's, at least for me, it's not so much a priority. I don't know how the rest of the band feels. I know like we've been talking about it and seeing how Lance owns a record label. You know, it's, yeah. and they just built a studio in Kilby Court, so we've got access to it, and we probably will, but I mean, it probably won't be till like within the year, and it won't, I mean, I don't know how much effort I'm willing to put into recording, but it more seems like, I think what the Fucktards have kind of morphed into, and what we've kind of are banking on now, in my opinion, is like the live shows, like people coming to the live shows and having fun. Cause I noticed with a lot of the bands around town that are hot right now, if you see them once, you go to the different place to see them again, and it's like the same shit, the exact same feeling, the same, where like that's just kind of the awesome, I think one of the awesomest things about punk rock in general is that you don't have to necessarily change your set, but like something different could happen at the show every time. Where like, I love Band of Annuals, I love Devil Whale, but and I don't feel like I'm talking shit. Like, I would say this to their faces. Like, it's boring now. And then when you talk to those guys, you know, like, hey, when's your next show? Every once in a while, they're like, oh man, we're just not going to do any shows for a while. And it's like, well, why not? You know, and maybe they're recording or doing something legitimate, but it's also like, in my head, I'm thinking, you're not doing any more shows because it's boring and you know it. Or it's, what's the point? Or people stop going.
It's late at night and I don't wanna sleep. Me and Lance are about 12 beers deep. So we walk to the park or the construction site. And we find a joint that's still upright. Put this over and run away. Put this over and run away.
Plan like what you're gonna do for the show. I know you dress up and shit. Do you plan anything in advance, or is it just?
Yeah, it's very loose, and that's kind of been a fucktards tradition where, like, we've tried to theme out shows. Like, there have been shows where we all wore the same dress. There have been shows where we've like the sperm show where we all dressed up like sperms. And but that's what I mean by like keeping it different. I want to kind of keep it that way to where people are like, ah. So like for this one. Or for the last show, you know, we had Dan Rose dress up in his bathrobe and play in his boxers like he just got out of the shower. And we tried to find a shower cap, but we couldn't find one in time. But, I mean, I had a lot of stuff going on getting, like, all my Leviathan shit ready. And so I didn't have as much time. But normally what we do is we just go to the DI with our band fund and just find the most stupid, ridiculous shit that we can and be like, oh, that looks funny. Or, like, it's kind of funny to fuck with the drummer and be, like, me and Lance will be, oh, you have to wear this. And they're like, ah, and we're like, nope, you have to do it. So we try to keep it different. I've been kind of rocking the same kit for the last couple shows. I definitely want to change that. But it's funny when it's provocative, like not even like drag, but just like almost like it's making fun of drag, mm-hmm. where it's just stupid.
All you punk rockers, you're all heavy. All heavy, all heavy, all heavy.
I noticed that you guys, whenever I see that there's a flyer that you guys are playing, it's usually on a Friday night. And I mean, how hard is that to do, especially because you guys barely got back together and you're not like a musician or anything.
Right.
Not to, you know, rag on you or anything.
Fair enough.
But yeah, how has that been to, you know, get attention?
Well, like, I think it goes back to booking yourself too much. I try to be somewhat strategic about it, and then also the fact that we're not one of these bands that's practicing every week. I mean, me and Lance have very chaotic schedules to where we can't really be like, okay, we'll practice every Wednesday at this time. That doesn't work out for us because, you know, he's booking shows, and just depending on what he's got going on, we can't do that. Luckily, Dan's unemployed. So Dan's pretty much good to go whenever. You know, Dave McCall's in, he's our new drummer, he's in other bands too, and so, I mean, we don't practice very much, straight up, and he's, I don't know, but I think it kind of plays into our favor, where, you know, it does create, like, an anticipation for the show. Like, I told Gavin last night that I don't want to play more than once a month now, and I think that works for us. If other bands want to, fine, whatever, but, you know, it's, fuck, I don't have time. Fuck it. So, and I think it's funner for us that way too. It kind of keeps it not as serious, or we're not as obligated to do stuff or keep everybody happy, because, I mean, if you play a bunch, you're going to have a bad show. And then as far as, like, me getting Fridays goes, I am very fortunate to, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. And I'm very fortunate to use my resources. Like, Urban Lounge was, and it actually took me a while to book Fridays there, because that's kind of a big deal for that club, you know, to they look at it, that's the weekend is when that place makes their money. And so honestly, to get a Friday there for Mike Brown Fest, where they just kind of handed everything over to me, like, okay, you promote it, you do the legwork, like, we'll just reserve this spot. They didn't even book anybody else. Like, I had to find shit to bring in, shit to do. They're cool enough to let me do whatever I want, as far as, like, hey, can we skate in the bar? Yeah, you know, and they love it, but it draws people that probably normally wouldn't come to a fucktard show.
and so I, but I did have to kill it on a Wednesday to prove that I could kill it on a Friday, and I think that was totally fair and totally legit. But I talked to Will and Chris about it, and I was like, you know, look, there's over 100 people here, and it's Wednesday, and imagine what I could do with a Friday or Saturday. Let me do it. Honestly, I learned how to promote events from Angela, like doing the skate contest, doing the snowboard contest, and what you need to do, and I'm lucky to be able to use Slug's resources too. I mean, I can't lie, you know, like it helps, and I try to milk every aspect I can, and if other people think that's lame, fuck you. Like, you can get a job at Slug and do what I do, I don't care.
For more information about the Fucktards, check out the localized article from our December 2009 issue and find them on Facebook. It's time now for another rundown of our daily calendar. We like to check in every week on upcoming events and fun stuff happening around Salt Lake City. I'm sitting here right now with Bethany. She's the marketing coordinator here at Slug. Are you ready to do the rundown, Bethany?
I guess I am.
That's the best answer yet. Tuesday, August 16th, Whole Foods is hosting an art show at Trolley Square. It's going to be featuring work by local artist Leah Bell. You know Leah Bell, right?
I love Leah Bell. Her stuff is awesome. She kind of gave the whole Kilby design for Kilby Court its look. She also is, you know, she's the owner of Signed and Numbered. Everybody knows that. And that store is awesome. I think she also did the whole design look for the 2010 Utah Arts Festival, too.
Yeah, I think you're right on that.
So her stuff is badass.
Can't wait to see that. That'll be cool.
Thursday, August 18th, and I think that goes to the 21st, is the Salt Lake City Film Festival. I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, it's going to be at Broadway, Tower, Broovies, and the Post Theater up at the University of Utah. It's featuring a film I saw at Slamdance this year I really liked called Silver Tongues. Definitely check that one out. It's a really awesome movie about compulsive liars.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you definitely should check that one out. And Friday, August 19th, we've got another edition of the Gallery Stroll, where you can go around downtown, check out different artists and galleries, get some free wine and cheese.
Yeah, yeah. And if you want to find out more information about Gallery Stroll, you should go to gallerystroll.org, and you can get all the info and find out who the artists are and all that kind of information.
And Saturday, August 20th, the last days of summer scooter rally is going to be held, and Folk Hogan is going to be playing at the Garage to cap off the night's festivities.
I think pretty much any band called Folk Hogan is worth going to check out. And I'll ride my scooter up there because I just got one.
Oh, you're going to be a part of the summer scooter rally.
Yeah, I got to find some other people, make a scooter gang. It'll be awesome. I'll make a Slug scooter gang.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then Monday, August 22nd, the new podcast comes out.
Another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground.
Oh, I'm excited to check that out.
Well, you're actually a part of one right now.
Who would have thunk?
I've been saying for years that you
thunk
should be a part
a
of
word.
This. It is now. Write that down.
Well, write that down.
Well, thank you very much, Bethany, and thanks for all your hard work here at Slug, making sure our events go off without a hitch.
Oh, anytime.
Reviver is a local hardcore punk band founded in 2007. It features locals Matt Mascarenhas, Sam Richards, Brian Fell, and Tom Ball. They released an EP called Potential Wasteland in May 2010 as a 7-inch. You can download the digital copy for a dollar or more donation on their Bandcamp page, reviver.bandcamp.com. Now let's listen to something new from these guys. The song's called Absenteeism. You can download it from Amp Magazine's Cross-Pollination Summer 2011 compilation.
Somehow I feel like I know you so well. touch the hill of unseen. When you slam the door, red, until it floods, until everything that's here is gone. Red, 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 until it floods. No ghost, no ghost, no ghost. You're never coming back. Red, 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 until it floods. Right on your side.
For more information about the group, a list of upcoming shows and music, find info on their blog at reviverhc.blogspot.com or check them out on Facebook, facebook.com/reviverslc. And if you'd like to read up on the group, you can check out the Localize article from our October 2010 issue. Melinda Ashley is an artist, stylist, and owner of High Life, a local salon. She's been curating shows since July of 2007. The Black Sheep Stroll happens alongside Gallery Stroll and features some unconventional and underground artists you may not be familiar with. You can find those shows by looking for the Black Sheep logo on local galleries and businesses during the regular gallery strolls. Fashion and art writer Mariah Mellis talks to her about her events and the reason behind the Black Sheep Stroll.
A little bit about yourself and the High Life Salon.
I am a hairdresser of 12 years in Salt Lake City. I consider myself an artist on that level. And I decided to open High Life to create art in hair as well as expand art in the community. So High Life essentially is a pretty raw space to show art ultimately on all mediums, more or less. Hair is my main one, but I seek out unconventional artists, I guess.
That's wonderful. And we're sitting amongst a lot of amazing metal sculpture right now. Who's the artist that we're looking at today?
The artist that you're looking at today is Scott Whitaker. He is a metal artist. His stuff, I guess, is known as urban artifacts. So he finds metal art in scrapyards or just around, and he creates really fabulous, unique metal works that are amazing to look at and purchase.
Yeah, I'm in awe of them. I could probably stare at them for hours and hours. They're so intricate, and it's amazing to see the little teeny details and found objects inside everything. So, a great call on putting him together for this. So tell me a little bit about how long you guys have been participating in like the art walks, and then a little bit about the Black Sheep Stroll.
So we opened High Life Stores in July of 2007, and in August we had our first art show. We did the art shows consecutively for about 3 years, and then this last year we took 6 months off and decided to come back with the concept of the Black Sheep Stroll. So the Black Sheep Stroll is just a 6 month stretch of artists that we'll be showing. It started in June with Scott Whitaker, and it'll end in November with Rockford Orvin. Basically, the Black Sheep Stroll is a way to identify what we're about and the type of artists that we seek. And a basic definition of that is the unconventional underground artist.
Excellent. And are you the only one participating in this Black Sheep Stroll? Are you the Black Sheep Stroll?
We are the Black Sheep Stroll. However, I have contacted several businesses in the surrounding areas who are like-minded and the places that I go to see art. So I'm interested in having them be part of the collective. I've gotten a lot of positive responses, so it's just a matter of gaining momentum and creating a following so that people who want to come to the Black Sheep Stroll know what businesses are hosting a similar take on art.
Sure, so those young, hip urbanites can identify where they're going to see art that they would purchase and art of their peers rather than going to see
right.
maybe, and I hate to say it, but sometimes stale landscape
yeah.
painters. I mean, love well, you landscape painters, but
right.
there's a lot of them in Utah.
And, I mean, it's not just art, too. I'm trying to create music as well. Fashion would be also an element that I'm interested in. Photography, any type of artist. It's not subject to what you were saying, you know, just a stale scenario. In addition to Scott Whitaker showing in June, we also represented Jesse Walker, who's a local DJ. And if you look to the back of the salon, he put together all of his nightlife posters. Those were a series of parties that he created in Salt Lake City over the last 4 years. So having his group of followers and Scott's group of followers is bringing a more collective consciousness and fun party for people to see all elements of art.
Well, and it seems like in Utah, everyone's connected. I mean, not only did Jesse he hosted the parties, I'm pretty sure he designed most of those posters too, because
definitely.
I know he's a local designer, and then he's also a DJ. So if you are not sure why you know that name, you probably have run into him in one of his many different capacities. And it seems like in Utah, we call it Small City Utah, but everybody's connected, we just might not know how.
Right.
So that's a great way to bring everybody into the same place and be at High Life Salon, a great venue for everyone to kind of come together, realize how they might know each other.
Right.
And that's wonderful. When we say Black Sheep Stroll, and I know that you identifying it as kind of the unconventional and the underground artist, it brings to mind that there is an actual association called a gallery stroll. And I had come to you asking, you know, how a Black Sheep Stroll might exist with the gallery stroll. Have you spoken to them? Are you a part of the gallery stroll? What do you know about them?
I have spoken to the gallery stroll when we first opened High Life, wanting to be a part of their association. What they had to offer wasn't really what I was interested in. I didn't really find their services to be that valuable, even though I appreciate the whole art community. And of course, I'm interested in being involved because we represent artists as well.
Could you possibly be some competition for them as far as a Black Sheep collective?
I guess essentially, but I don't know if they're competing at all.
I am interested in someone stepping up and kind of taking the reign of helping galleries or studios or just blank canvas spaces, you know, those crossover venues that want to show art and joining them together. We try to publicize them through Slug's Gallery Stroll column, but it would be nice to have some way of identifying those hip urban places that show art on the third Friday of every month. So if I can give you any kind of champion there, I would say that you would be fabulous to maybe get those interested in the Black Sheep Stroll and maybe take it to that next level.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's there's a future in it for
yeah,
sure. So
I agree.
Excellent. So what can we expect to see? Well, I know you've said it ends November.
Mm-hmm.
And then do we have any kind of highlights or things we need to stop in and see between now and November? Anything we should look forward to in the future?
Yeah, each show is going to be absolutely amazing. Our last show is going to be exciting. It's called Follow the Leader, and Rockford Orvin is the artist, and he's absolutely amazing. It's a huge show. So essentially what we want to do is take a few businesses, probably at least four businesses, and put the show in each of the stores, the art galleries, the boutiques, whatever business is showing art that wants to be a part of the Black Sheep Stroll, and really create kind of like a progressive art experience. So High Life would be the first section of the show, and then you would go to the various businesses that hopefully come together to see the progress of the show.
Oh, I love the idea of having it correlate from business to business,
right,
and of that progressive idea, you know, keep the continuity from one place to the next, because you can walk into one place and see something so dramatically different from the next that it would be kind of fun to have to see a little piece of somebody's work throughout every single one of them. Is he a Utah artist, or where would we?
He is a Utah artist. He studied in Boston at Mass Art. He's phenomenal. If you go to his website, rockfordorvin.com, you can see his pieces. They're very poppy and just fantastic. I highly recommend looking at his stuff and then coming to see his stuff here. We have actually had 6 shows of his at High Life over the years. So those people who have purchased from him should definitely come out and see Follow the Leader.
The next Black Sheep Stroll is Friday, August 19th. High Life will be featuring photography by Weston Hall from 6 to 9 p.m. at 245 East Broadway in Salt Lake City. Thanks for listening to Soundwaves from the Underground. For more information about the music, interviews, and guests from this episode, visit slugmag.com. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or an angry thought or two about the show, feel free to send us an email at soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. Our show's theme and music was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. Our main logo and art design by T. Doan, technical design by Kate O'Connor, and audio mastering by Andrew Glassett. Special thanks to Adam Sherlock and Eric Tomorrow for their help and support. This is JP signing off. Until next time.